صل على رسول الكريم. وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى. Every person's ambition is to get into Jannat with ease and with respect. And Allah Ta'ala, who is most loving and most compassionate, He also wants the same. مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. If you are grateful with Iman, Allah doesn't want to punish you. Be grateful, be thankful, appreciative. So the path of Deen is quite clear. There is nothing that is ambiguous. تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَىٰ طَرِيقَةٍ بَيْضَىٰ لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِهَا. The path that Rasulullah Paksa has shown is absolutely clear. There is nothing ambiguous about the path. The ambiguity, if any, is in the mind, not in the path. Path is clear. One of the major problems is, in this day and time, is the path is made ambiguous. It's not ambiguous, but it's being made to be ambiguous. And what's making it ambiguous is there are scholars that are more or less just came out of the box, or they bought off. Either they novice, either they just matured now, physically, not mentally, or they bought off, and they're creating a great confusion in the minds of people. So the path to Jannat is just two steps. One step on the nafs. وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. To restrain the self from wrong desires. What's the step? The first step is نَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. To restrain the self from wrong desires. And the next step is Jannat. نَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. So you restrain yourself from the wrong desires, wrong attractions. Right? When you restrain yourself from the wrong desires, then the next step is into Jannat. So is that complicated? Not complicating, more difficult. So there's going to be a lot of things that may attract people, right? If there's no attractions, then there is no examination. The examination is the things that are attracting you, but you are throwing them away. You are throwing them, abandoning them, you're creating a hatred and aversion for it. Every passing day, as you're creating an aversion, a hatred, and a dislike. So you may not have the highest level of the aversion, but you have to keep working on it. That aversion for the wrong just improves all the time. As Umar radiyallahu, when he came across the verse زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ. Okay, these attractions, they are appealing, be it women, be it wealth, be it investments, be it fast cars, be it holidays, all these things are appealing, right? So in his dua he says, according to Bukhari Sharif, Oh Allah Ta'ala, I don't ask you that these attractions must be totally cancelled, with its wealth, with its woman, because you have made part of our nature. It's within our nature, like good food, like good woman, like good wealth. Right? It's within our nature. And it's within our nature, so I don't say you to cancel this completely. Some Sahaba Kiram went to get married and they saw the need to get married, but now they can't get married immediately. They see the need, but they can't marry immediately. So they are afraid about themselves that they may get tempted to wrong. So they asked if they were allowed to castrate. No, don't do this. Because you've been created like this. When you're created like this, then you can't cancel the nature of Allah Ta'ala. Yes, so then he says, but O Allah Ta'ala, channel this attractions to the right direction. We use the wealth in the right avenues. Right? We use our energies in the right avenues. We use our intelligence and our brains towards guidance. See the beauty of the Sahaba Kiram and the importance of listening to them, understanding them. That the same attractions that we've got, wealth, woman, energy, power, cars, etc., all of that directed to the right. That all these are used for your pleasure. So how can we use our wealth for your pleasure? How can a woman be used for your pleasure? What should they do? That they can be also used for your pleasure. The energies that we have got, how can they be used to attain your pleasure and your muhabbat? Everything is coming from him. Illahi ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. Illahi mulku samawati wa al-ard. Everything comes from Allah Ta'ala. When it is his, then aati kulla dhi haqqin haqqahu. Right, when it belongs to him, then return it to where it belongs. It belongs to Allah Ta'ala, then replace it, turn it back to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Don't pretend as though it's yours and you can do as you want. Don't ever do that. Where it came from, the energy that you've got, where it came from. See, look at yourself, what were you? You were just, at the beginning, just dust, right? Then the beauty, the development from one level to another level, from dust to a drop, to a clot of blood, to a lump of flesh, then Allah Ta'ala shaped you with a beautiful appearance, with the different faculties of understanding, sight, ear, hearing, etc. So, who shaped you like that? Who brought you up like that? Otherwise, you were just dust. And Allah Ta'ala constructed you. Fi ayyi surati ma sha'a rakkabak. You can look at the glory, the beauty of Allah Ta'ala reflecting in his creation, that there's over 8 billion people living on this earth. But every person's feature is different. His facial features, his eyes, his ears, his shape, everything is different. In fact, his inclinations are different as well. He may like tea, he may like coffee, he may like cappuccino, he may like Milo. As a small child may like Nesquik, right? But the whole variety, the preferences are different, the features are different, the nose is different, the ears are different, the voice is different. For 8 billion people and such magnanimity, 8 billion, and to have such variances. So you must say, Tabarakallah Rabbul Alameen, say that. How perfectly, how accurately. And then look at the aesthetics. Eyes is in line. Ears are in line. Can you see that? You see one eye here, down here, and eye on either side. And everything placed in perfection. And where it's supposed to be placed, right? You didn't see the eye on the head, top. You see that. The nose on the leg, you see that. So everything in perfection, order, precision, due proportion. So who did all this? في أي سورة ما شاء ركبك. Now, when you see the perfection that Allah Pak has blessed you, right, and then you see what your beginnings are and what's your end going to be like, right, then you understand on your own you are nothing, useless, helpless. You were like that, you were sand, then you came onto this earth, then you were useless, right? And then كُلُّ شَيْءٍ يَرْجِعُ إِلَىٰ أَصْلِهِ. You were useless, you'll become useless just now. In a few years, Allah knows best, you were useless and then you become useless. Allah just makes it happen. So your beauty is understanding where you belong to and where you're heading to. Not just getting caught in this trap. The whole world is a trap. Mata'ul ghurur. It's just a deception, it's a trap. Who falls into the trap and who saves himself from the trap, understand that this is a trap, is not a place to enjoy, not a dream world, not a thing to rejoice about. It's a trap, and then just be careful. So the trap is nafs, temptation. And your temptation is going to lead you in all directions. Amma man bakhila wastaghna. Amma man khafa maqama rabbi, right? So now, how do you get to the level that you can restrain yourself? See, what we said that is one step on yourself, the next step on to jannat. Yourself means your wrong desires. So when that's the major step that you need to take, then how can you make this workable, that you can put that foot of yours onto yourself, suppress your wrong desires, wrong temptations? How do you make it work? So you know, alright, what's the journey like. So the second part of the journey is, then how do you make this work, that you can restrain yourself? So that restraining comes, مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّي. That's the beauty of the Quran Sharif, that where it shows you a crisis and a problem, it will definitely show you a solution. This is the problem, this is the solution. So the more you put your mind into the hereafter, into the akhirat, right, into reality, the more you are aligned. And you turn yourself away from reality, then you're going in circles. So there is a goal, you are heading towards it. When you're heading towards it, then identify. You go to a Qabristan, right? Alright, you should be making dua for the deceased. That's a requirement. But equally important, or even more important, is فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُ الْآخِرَةِ زُورُوهَا فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُ الْآخِرَةِ. Go into the Qabristan, because that reminds you of your real goals, real ends. Now you're there and you're looking at the covers. Now this person, I know him for so long, and today where he sits, where he's lying down, where he was once upon a time, and where's he now? Right, you're looking at two different classes of people. Man utiya kitabahu miyamini wa man utiya kitabahu vishimali. The one that's got his report, right? He's got a good report. Then, أَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِ وَيَقُولُ هَاُ مُقْرَأُ كِتَابِيَ. He's jumping with joy. Come, look at my report. He can't contain his happiness. He's rejoicing. He's so great. It's not a good thing to say. But you know, if it's a cup professional, you know, professional match, like, you know, and it was your team, and your team scored the winning goal, right? And you see them, how they jump. Hey, my guys, jump, can't control himself. I was walking to the reception, Makkah Mukarrama, and I saw an Arab, he's watching something, whatever, because he's like a sports, right? And it was a winning goal. He just jumped. Hey. So that will be your position when your report is right. You won't be able to contain your happiness. You jump. And that's the real happiness. This is just a transitory. It's just an imaginary. If your team won also, then how does it work for you? Does it work for you in any way? They'll give you 2 million, you supported us. I think we're nothing out of it. It's just a bluff. And yeah, it's reality. إِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَيَّ الْحَيَوَانِ. This life is just a bluff. مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Allah is telling you repeatedly, it's just deception. مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. إِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَيَّ الْحَيَوَانِ. That is real life. There you can jump. I won. Alhamdulillah, I won. MashaAllah. You can celebrate, you can dance, you can do everything. When you got the ticket, you got it. MashaAllah. So, sometimes you're at the Qabristan and you're thinking like this, on these grounds, on these lines, that this is the end, and I'm seeing the person here, that person. One friend was here in those days, now about 30 years ago, before Dubai could become so popular. So, he went in, and one friend said, let me take you for Ziyarat. So, took him to one of the top masjids that time in Dubai. And just near the masjid was the Qabristan. So he said, here to the Qabristan also. He says, you see this grave here? This grave is of the wealthiest person in the whole of Dubai. And you see, the one that is buried next to him, he was the poorest beggar in the whole of Dubai. So this life is just a bluff. What you're seeing, recognition, status, wealth, right? You want to be recognized, you want to be known, you want to be aligned. I saw Mr. Musa there, you know, at a meeting, sitting with him, had meals together. So why did you ever say Mr. Musa? Why did you say Mr. Sheikh or someone? Why did you say that? Why? Yeah, dil ka chor. The thief comes out. Right? You want to be aligned, you want to be associated, you want to be linked up with this group of people. But he can baat mein, Usman Ghaniyajan says, person can conceal himself how much he wants, but Allah Ta'ala will expose him. One statement he makes, one word he makes, and he'll just be exposed. You get to know the person, the statements that he makes. Baat se maloom ho hi jata hai, right? Where this person is, kitne paani mein. Everyone in charge is talking to me now. Just come for mulaqat. Now I know he made the skill. Now I know it made the skill. What a difference it made. That's just a bluff, like it's a flatter. So he's a flatter. Now I know he's a flatter. And then Jamaat, they use different tricks and different styles. So saying, by Jamaat ke kaam mein zikr ko lagao. This mulaqat, etc. is important, very important. But more important is the zikr. That's the life wire. You got all the lights here, and you got no connection. Kya hoga? That zikr is that light. That zikr is that life fire. That lightens the whole place up. But you got no connection to the electricity then. What are you going to do with the lights? It will be a curse for you. So that work becomes life with zikr. Zikr, fikr, humility, dua. That's the jaan. It's kaam ka jaan. جان کو ختم کر دیا اور بتیوں کی کثرت سے فخر کر رہے کیا بات ہوئی کیا سوچ بگڑ گیا the thinking is gone off get the yaad right get the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala right then a little effort also is enough what's the difference between us and the Sahaba Kiram کم من فئت قلیلت غلبت فئت کثیرت بإذن اللہ واللہ مع الصابرین Umar al-Yan Zamana, and they laid a siege against Egypt, right? One of the big frontiers. Big one. Almost a month passed, and no news is forthcoming. So they sent a letter to Umar radiyallahu anhu. So I'm not going to send any reinforcements. You people get yourself straight. Absolutely no reinforcements. You people get yourself straight. So you see what's the important thing. Kasrat ki zarurat nahi hai. Jo kaam karne wale hai, wo seedhe ho jaye. They get the sunnah into their life. They get the zikr, unka rona aa jaye. Allah Pak likes that. Quran Sharif ki tilawat ho. Zikr ki kasrat ho. Iza laqitum fiyatan fasbutu. Waskurullaha kaseera. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu uzkurullaha zikran kaseera. That zikr is not just a casual thing. That's not by the way. That will be a thing. It's a life fire. La yazalu lisanuka radban min zikrillah. Must be at any given time. So that brings about the life. That brings about ye kaam ka jaan is tarah se aa jata hai. So this is why I emphasized, you know, in Ramadan also. But get the work back to the original style. Original style from tahajjud to getting up 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. The buzzing right until Ishraq, the talk and all that, and then Ishraq namaz, then the morning fikr, and thereafter the rest, right? After a certain maghrib, they are buzzing, they don't want to see each other, they're doing the work. Now, I don't know, mulaqat, biscuit, tea, coffee, kaam ka kya reh jayega bhai? So, phir, in the words of Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullahi, isko sahi usool ke upar nahi chalayenge, to ye bas ek awardagi ho jayegi. It'll be a plea thing, it'll be a rasmi thing. So get the life into that. Do the mulaqat, it's important. But obviously, wala zikrullahi akbar. What's the greatest thing? Get the zikr into the life. Get the zikr into the whole work. And you see what difference it makes. Cry, ask Allah Ta'ala, beg Allah Ta'ala, and see the difference. The Shaykh Ramtai in his letters, from the time of Ilyas Ramtai, right until he passed away, 82, he was a sarparast of the Jamaat. He was like the head of the Jamaat. Although his uncle is the front, but now, who is the backbone? Well, Shaykh Ramtai says to his uncle one day, that I saw in the dream, I saw that you are in front, and behind you, I am standing behind you, and behind me is Hazrat Muhammad Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmatullahi. So I can't understand what's the meaning of the dream. But Ilyas Sahib is in front, and behind him is Muhammad Al-Sheikh, and behind the Sheikh is Hazrat Muhammad Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmatullahi. So Muhammad Ilyas Sahib gives an interpretation. It says, in this work, you are the spine. Agar aap nahi hote, the ulama-e-kiram, this is khatam kar lete, proximate words, right? If you went around, ulama-e-kiram would have smashed me down. They recognize you, they don't recognize me. See that? They recognize you, they don't recognize me. That is why you are listening to more Ibrahim Devla Sahib Rahman's his programs. And he says, what's the most needed thing in the hour, in the Jamaat, in this day? Ilm and Zikr. He says, there's no need now to introduce the work. The work is introduced already. Every corner of the world becomes a global work. So what's the need now? The need is Ilm and Zikr. Get that Ilm right, get that Zikr right. Get that Ilm right, otherwise it will just become a customary thing. You're talking just about the 6 points. You're not coming out of the 6 points. Your talk is about zikr. You're giving the time of zikr, right? The sunnahs are coming alive. Yeah? Sunnahs are coming alive. The zikr is carrying on all the time, right? In the mornings, in the evenings, the zikr is carrying on. There's crying going on. There's tahajjud. There's awabin namaz that's being performed, right? So that zikr, that namaz, that crying, that puts the word into the mouth of the mutakallim. That reflects onto his mouth. And when it reflects there, then that word has the effect. Otherwise, the mulaqat is just an empty mulaqat. You're doing with that fikr, with that zikr, with that concern, right? Now all that concern, all that combined effort is reflecting on his tongue. So the one that is giving the talk, he mustn't think much of himself. Many a times it is the ikhlas, it is the zikr, it is the crying of some person in that whole majma that is allowing this thing to be manifest in his tongue. Now you think it's Mahavira, he's such a beautiful talk. One person is giving a talk and he's seeing the gems are just flowing out. Gems are just flowing out of his mouth. And now he's getting driven with the talk that he's giving. In the meanwhile, he didn't realize there was an ordinary Ahlullah, Allah Wala, that was in that majma, and that was in constant dua for the speaker, that the speaker must say something that will affect the crowd, change their lives. Now that Ahlullah made out that this person is now in self-admiration. Okay, what gems are flowing out of my mouth? And when he realized this, he just stopped the dua. And there he went blank. So that whole jamaat, 15 people that are there, they have to be in zikr, they have to be in fikr, they have to be in dua, they are crying to Allah Ta'ala. And then you see what a world of a difference it makes with the individual or the jamaat itself, what a difference it makes. You know, that whole thing is just transformed into just customary things. Then the jaan, usko jaan, iski jaan ko tabah kar diya. You killed the very essence of it. So we're coming back, you know. So the one is that person who's got the book, the report right. So what he says, come, look at my report. He's jumping out of joy. You know, he's jumping to see, I won, viva, I won. Can't contain himself. He's jumping, touching the ceiling, right? Dancing around. Because that was the happiest moment in his life. There couldn't be a moment, it was more exciting than, you know, my whole life, and it's paid out, alhamdulillah. It's paid out. I just got that report now, and it's paid out, alhamdulillah. So I can't think of a moment greater than this moment. See that? So that is the one who's received the book of deeds in the right. Ha umuqra'u kitabiyah. إِنِّي ظَنَنْتُ أَنِّي مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيَا. He says, I was certain that this day is coming. I'm going to come up this day. إِنِّي ظَنَنْتُ أَنِّي مُلَاقٍ. This day is coming. He was certain. So you see, what brings you to the real goals is the more you align to your real end. The more you align to your real end brings you to reality. Right? You got a business, right? Your real goal is money, right? After doing all the exercise, what's the whole idea? Make money, isn't it? Anything else? Money is someone wants a little bit of name also. Okay, people don't think me like that, don't think me like a broken down Johnny, you know. They mustn't think that. They must know that I'm a mortar also. So these are two things that in the business. You want to have some status, and number two is you want some security, right? But now you're so certain about it that you give your life, your time, you're sick, heart problem, sugar problem, pressure problem, but you're so certain about the goal that nothing comes in between, you're going. Can you see how seriously you take it? Then you want to fight with your siblings because of business. You want to fight with your parents because of business. You want to fight with your wife because of business. Can you see how serious you take it? Because that which was a deception, mata'ul ghurur, you took it as a reality. إِنِّي ظَنَنْتُ أَنِّي مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيَا نَاوْ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةِ الرَّاضِيَا. Now he is in a life of cheers. Cheers all the time. Now you can put the glasses together, cheers. That's the moment. Not here, yeah? This is a bluff. When you got that certificate has come into your hand, then you can say, إِنِّي مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيَا. I knew this thing is coming in. And now cheers. And now you can jump. Now you can dance. Before that, it's just a bluff. And then you've got the other side. See, life must be understood in perspective. I only show you one side. I don't show you the other side. Then I'm bluffing you. Right? One person came here. He'll give me a kargozari. America, Australia, such a beautiful place. Islam, rising, shining, all that. So he spoke so highly about it. So I asked him, will you want to go and settle there in Australia or England or wherever? No. Why? Why you don't want to go and stay there? So Kaikava, there is no infrastructure there. There is some thirst, but there isn't an infrastructure. There isn't security there. I can't see much deen is security there. Yeah, there can be murders and hijacking and kidnapping, etc. Allah will save us all. But there is some infrastructure, there is some security. There is a lot of security, but no Islamic infrastructure. Your daughter wants to become a Christian, it is illegal to go and stop her. You stop her, they put you into jail. No infrastructure, no deeni security. So either you want the deeni security, or you want a material security. One has to make up his mind, what security you want. The worst they can do is kill you. They can't put you in Jahannam. Can they put you in Jahannam? They can't. That's the worst they can do. Right? They can't do anything beyond that. یہاں تو جان کا خطرہ ہے اور وہاں تو ایمان کا خطرہ ہے. Yeah, there's a danger for your life, but that side there's a danger for your iman. Ask anybody. His brother went, came back, said, don't give such a kalguzari that people get attracted to go and live in this type of places, and then when they understand, they see the reality, they regret everything after that. Just encourage people to go out, but not in that style that people get tempted to live in this type of places. Because everything is free. Anything and everything is free. So much so that even those that are graduating as mashayikh, etc., top universities, as professors, etc., they also get influenced by that style. So several people, they go into that life and they get influenced. Right? And then sometimes they're influenced into that life, sometimes they become puppets for politicians, right? The politician, and you become a puppet. And then you have to sing the song. Whoever pays the piper, he calls the tune. As that he had given on story, you know. He says that one person, an alim, he has to go and meet, he's come to a new area for some work, so he has to meet the influential person. So in India, the most influential person is the Nawab. So he comes up to the Nawab, whatever work he's got, sometimes it's a work like I have to put up a masjid. So you need the endorsement of the Nawab. Like how here, if it's an Induna and you want to put up something, then you have to go to the Induna to get the thing right. You put up a masjid, I have to go through the Nawab and get it endorsed, and then you can start off your work. So now he needs to go to this Nawab, the wealthiest and the most influential person in the area, right? And as he's coming in, there is a big drain. In there you see many places up to now, the villages, big drain, everything, all the sewage, everything is going. So he crosses that, comes to meet the Nawab. Around that time, the Nawab is having his beard shaven. See? And there's a local alim, he knows the local alim, and he's seated there, and this alim is quite comfortable with all this. He is not showing any type of dislike for what's happening. Because the least you could do is walk away from where there is haram. Some haram is happening. I can't be seated there watching the haram. See? I can't do that. That is why there's a need. Some people go out and they call people, right? Some people need to go out and call lovingly, muhabbat, zikr, fikr. And some people have to protect the whole structure of Islam. They can't be so active. He has to be active and go out and call people. And there's someone that is needed to be seated in the center to see that the whole structure is secure. He also is moving then. What happens to this? Is this secure anytime, any longer? Not secure. So there is a thing like distribution. One goes out, ma kana min waliyin firu kafa. Everybody can't come out. And if you say everybody must come out, then you're wrong. Because the Quran is saying, ma kana min waliyin firu kafa. So there's a thing like distribution of work. Someone has to go out, go. Catch this person, call this person here, invite this person here. Right? Unless now, if that person can manage doing the both, right? There are now some ulama that will be going for umrah, holidays, etc., right? So that means they got the time to do all this work as well. can go for Umrah, you can go for holidays, you can go book up in a hotel, right? You can do all these things here. When they can do all these things here, they must go in Jamaat also. But now he's not going for Umrah, not going for holidays, he's stuck in one place. I tell you, he must go out also. Do you understand Deen? Do you understand Deen? Deen is saying, you need someone to guard the whole infrastructure. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu becomes the Khalifa, right? And there's an onslaught from every direction. Murtaddeen, that time Mani'in Zakat, the whole big commotion carrying on. So, Abu Bakr radiyallahu on the one side, Rasulullah had arranged for the Jaysh of Usama, the army of Usama to move. So as Abu Bakr, look at his status, maqam, right? Look at his status, look at his maqam. Khayr al-Bashari ba'd al-Anbiya, the best person after the Anbiya, right? So as Abu Bakr goes to Umar himself, personally, sits like I was sitting in namaz. Says, this person is in your jamaat, Umar is in your jamaat, but now I am appointed to be the Khalifa here. And I can't function without this man here. So I need your kind permission that you allow him to remain with me so that I can manage the administration. Can you see that? I didn't say, why everybody go out? Did he say that? You know, the main thing is infiru, khifafu, wasiqalu, wajahidu. By better seeko is good. Understand in perspective, understand the shan and nuzul, and thereafter. But now you go wild like this, then you mix up the whole thing. Then you confuse people. Because now you may think you're doing the right thing, and the layman may think, oh, this alim is not going out, so he's against Jamaat. This person is right because he's going out, and this person is not going out, so he's wrong. So I ask you, conveying the right message or the wrong message. Or he may despise this alim. No, he is good because he's going out. He is not right. So this despising an alim is the right thing. Especially if he is concentrated, he's working. He's got no free time. Now you're looking down upon him and asking him, do this and do that. Is that the right thing? Or you're despising him, looking down upon him. See? You look out down on him, then joko se wo bhi chala jayega, bhai. So if it's an alim now, but he's going for holidays, umrah, he ghar ka thikana nahi hai, his house is not in order, right? Parda ka thikana nahi hai, he's not making parda, his beard is not right, he's not right himself, yeah, that person will send him out. But now he's centered, he's working now, it's a new earth come out. You see the difference. Now, understand deen, but understand deen in perspective. That is why Ibrahim Dillah Dhamad Barakat is complaining. He says the thing that is short here is ilm and zikr is short here. Otherwise the work is introduced in the whole world, but that ilm and zikr is not there. Why is he complaining? And nearly every talk that comes down, and he's impressing upon this, he can see where's the problem. So now this person has got his book of deeds in the right hand, and this person has got his book of deeds in the left hand. Says, Ya Laytaha Kanat al Qadi, had I been dead before this. I didn't receive a report, I could have been dead. And then he says, Ma Agna Anni Maliya, Halaka Anni Sultaniya. See, all that wealth I had, you know, I was boastful, I was proud, I was showing off, right? But ma aghna anni maliya, this thing is absolutely useless. You know, the pure talk of Burma, right? And in the heydays in Burma, say about 90 years ago, right? There are people that will tell you, we had stacks of notes, you know, complete from one end of the masjid to the other end of the masjid, through the ceiling, so much we had. But overnight, the currency was devalued, cancelled completely. Can you imagine now what must have been the level of depression? You are counting on that, you are confident about yourself, so much you had, and overnight, hukumat ki taraf se Elan Huwake, all the currencies, all cancelled, absolutely finished. So how long it took you to stack up all that, right? And then overnight it's gone. So that's the day of Qiyamah. Ma aghna anni maliya. All that currency, everything is gone. The currency is gone. So two things people look forward to. One is currency, right? The second thing he says, halaka anni sultaniya. My influence is gone. See, I had a status, I had a position, I had some recognition, right? The status is gone. It's smashed down. The money is devalued. There's no value left for this money. So the two things that man looks up to is wealth and position, recognition, status, contacts. He's got everything. He's got the contacts, he's got the position, he's got the influence, or he's got wealth. So these are the two things that he looks at. And on that day, when he's got his book of deeds, he's got the report wrong. He says, had I been dead before this? Wealth is of no use, and my position, everything, my recognition, my influence is smashed down completely. So now think of that day. Inna alaykum lahafizin kiraman katibin ya'alamuna ma tafa'alun. Think of that day. Inna alaykum lahafizin. Are you standing here? Are you sitting here? Yeah. Malaika that are appointed upon you, kiraman katibin, honorable scribes, they're writing down. Ma yalfizu min qawlin illa ladayhi raqibun atid. One word is being recorded down. One action and is recorded straight away. Ma yalfizu raqibun atid. They're waiting to see what you say, what you do, and they're recording it. Kiraman katibin ya'alamuna ma taf'alun. So when a person is identifying all these things here, kiraman katibin, they are writing down, they are recording all these things here, can he go off the course? So that means the biggest blunder that we have made in this day, biggest, I understand it, I'm certain about it, is we lost track of the real goal. We lost track of it. We thought, now you got money, enjoy yourself, holidays, umrah, all this, that's your life. That's in the mind of most people, right? Whereas there is a higher goal beyond this thing here, and we lost track of the thing. When you're seeing what's going around the world, right, and then how your life is designed, right, and it's true, it's worlds apart. It's worlds apart. Is it? And on that day, فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيثٌ. As you die, right. At that moment, from that moment onwards, as you are about to die, then the veils are lifted and you can see right through. So that's the day. فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمُ حَدِيثٌ. Now, you're seeing so well. Before that, your eyes were all shut. You couldn't see. But now, as you are approaching the last, now you can see things in perspective. Okay, see that? So you're talking of Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh. And this Nawab is having his hair, his beard shaved, right? Okay. So anyway, he's having his hair shaven. So this visitor that has come to see the Nawab, he looks at the Nawab, what are you doing? Aka chemi kuni, what are you doing? So anyway, the Nawab looks at the local alim. See? Because that is his pillar of support. But now you see, anybody can be bought off. You get the fake and you get the genuine. Right? It doesn't mean that there's one, two fakes, then there's no genuine. There'll be the original, there'll be the genuine. But there must be also the fake. There's no trial. But you have to look out now who's fake and who's genuine. You see. Who's taking out, who's taking and receiving the 600,000 government payout. And who says you can keep your payout to yourself? I don't want it. Who is that person? So you're going to get these two types. And you must have it, right? Are you getting a person like... Well, all these things, all these evils, is what one main center, America. Right? America. They're coming from there. And they're offloading all their filth and they're running away. How the Quran Sharif says it nicely. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُونَ. They're trying to deceive, right? and they'll get caught in their own deception. They're trying to deceive, right? The deen of Allah Ta'ala. And just now they'll get caught in their own deception, they'll get caught. See now, when Labak says they'll get caught in their deception, now look, just like one simple example, the quaver, right? And this was the group that was encouraging it. Right? And then for the encouragement, they got about a 7 million handout from the government because you encouraged it. Right? So see that one side. And on the other end, then, from the government level, they say that all this thing was wrong and we are sorry that so many people are affected, casualties, heart problems, cardiac failure, all these type of things, right? So now, they were encouraging it. Now, did it ever appear that they apologized to all those people that they heard they got some complications? Did they ever do that? Right? Compensating them was a higher level. Even wealthy big companies, right, Muslim companies, they asked them to take the vaccine, the pull out. Right? Some lost their jobs, some took that vaccine, then they became casualties. Then they had chronic problems, right? At that time, did they ever think of compensating these people? See, we encouraged them, we made it a precondition that if you know Romania, you have to take that vaccine. Let's pull out from here. Now they took those things, now they got chronic problems. Did they ever have the heart to apologize, to compensate for them? But you see this? Unfair, unjust. So Adil is explaining the story. They're getting these things, all coming from that side. They're coming from that side, and they don't realize the consequence of this. Now they're getting, someone, Umar Suleiman, and the lowest one, get one big wealthy person to host the big da'wah, right? Now he, in his innocence, is accepting that, right? He's accepting that. But now, when you look at this man's profile, then he is a 100% LGD activist. He's encouraging it. And then, who's the host? Jamiat Ulama Transvaal is the host. But what his profile is, he says that Muslims must affirm their support for LG. Must affirm. Sheikh so and so. And everybody must go. So they'll give you one bait, you know. The bait will be, they'll give you a bait, you know, he's pro Gaza against Trump, right? But that's just a bait to trap you into this thing. You see, just before, some years ago, I can't remember the name now. So what he said was, the best religion is Islam, but the worst people are Muslims. So anybody remembers the name? See? Bernard Shaw, right? So that when he said that, Bernard Shaw said these words, right? So the best religion of is Islam, that's the bait. To you to accept that the worst people are Muslims. And the proof that he is not true in what he's saying, if Islam was true, the best religion, why didn't you accept it? If Islam was the best religion, why didn't you accept, why died as a kafir? So these are catchwords. As people must understand. Now you think, now what's wrong in inviting someone? Now this is actual kufr. Yasir Qadi, all supporting the same thing. Right? They're supporting the same thing. But now look at Hazrat's words after this. This Nawab looks at the local alim that is giving the support. Now see how the local alim, how he is now giving an explanation. Hazrat is giving the story, you know. How he's giving a cover-up story, justifying. Said, Nawab sir, is 100% you right in shaving your beard. You know why? Because your beard is very thick, dense. And if there's going to be dense beard, there's going to be lice there. And the lice, they're not going to make nikah. This is going to multiply, they'll make zina on your beard. Haram, astaghfirullah. These are all jahils now. You're playing around with words. Playing around with the iman. Can you see that? So they're playing around with the iman, and now you think that nothing is going to happen. You think that nothing is going to happen. It's such a serious thing. Such a serious thing. It is Mufti Ahmad Kanpuri Sahib, Dawud Barakatum, his Sharan Bukhari Sharif, Iqaq, just came out. I'm just paging through. Thick kitab, you can't see everything. So I came across one article he's got there. He's quoting Imam Gangohi Rahmatullahi. Now he's the leader of this whole kafla of Dioban, all ulama al-sunnat of this last 1.5 century. He's the leader. So he says, showing just that sympathetic approach, Yasir Qadi, all these people, they're sympathizing. What happened? He says, man says, I was there at the funeral of this person, notable person in Makkah Mukarramah, whether it's Ali, whatever. But now we opened the grave to see a non-Muslim there, in that grave. So one person says, you know, this person here had accepted Islam at my hands. And he was a true Muslim, and you know, he told me that when I die, I'll pay you whatever you want, but just organize for me, transfer me to a Muslim grave, and you do the, whatever is supposed to be done, because I know my people won't allow that. So he did whatever he needed to do. Now, they went and found out from this person's family, okay, now his grave is not here. Where is his grave? Why has this happened that he's moving to a non-Muslim cemetery? Why? He's gone to a non-Muslim cemetery. Labak made it. So they went and cursed his wife. What happened here? So the wife says, he was a Muslim performing namaz, doing everything, wealthy, right? But he was sympathetic and supporting Christian values. Like how this Yasir Qadi saying, you can't get attracted, it's alright. But you mustn't have that behavior. See, so you can be attracted to Christianity, but don't behave like a Christian. So he was being attracted to Christianity because, you see, in Christianity, there's no such a thing like faras ghusl. You know, you need to have a ghusl, faras. So Christianity is, all other religions say it's his first, right? So there's no such a thing like paki, na paki in them. So he's attracted, it's so good here, you know, you don't have to have a faras ghusl. So just being sympathetic, what happened? Supportive or sympathetic towards this, what happened? Then the evidence for this from the Quran Sharif is the wife of Hazrat Lut alayhi salam, right? Tahta rajulaini, right? Fakhanatahuma, they cheated on the husband. How they cheated on the husband? Lut alayhi salam, how she cheated. Not that she committed any adultery, no. Innahu musibuha ma asabahum. She will receive the same punishment as the rest of the community. They'll be killed with a shower of stones. Why? Because she supported the indecent culture. She supported it. She was not active in that, but she supported this. She was attracted and she supported it. So innahu musibuha ma asabhum, what punishment comes to them will come to them. So this whole Jusa, I'm feeling convinced now, they have to, if they knew what they're doing, then they'll have to repeat the kalima, whoever it is, if they knew what they're doing. The man is an algae. The Quran Sharif is talking totally against it. And yet they're supporting him and calling ulama-i kiram, giving them personal advice, coming. I am convinced that if they want to keep the iman safe, they'll repeat the kalima. Because you see what happened to Lut alayhi salam's wife? Sympathetic. So you're sympathizing with a person that is an algae activist. His profile is out. They're showing out his profile. And then we invite him and call ulama-i kiram, look what a person. Like this Bernard Shaw, right? See, you have to give you a bait to come in. Now, we are putting that iman on risk. Now, those people that are hosting, they also need to know, right? We can't just go for pal. Pali is first with Islam. First with Allah Ta'ala, then is Rasulullah. Then we look at the Islamic values and limits. And then everything else come after that. Then now we put Islam behind us, everything behind. First our pals and our friends and that, just to keep a good business relationship, we have to keep that. Or family relationship, Islam can tag along. I say, is that the loyalty that... So anyway, as this story ends up like this, they left that room. And they left the room, so this alim that came from the outside saw this local alim. So what happened to you? Where went you? Where is your iman? But anyway, I think it was much better than our local alims. Today, right? Our alim said. What he said, you see, when I have to meet the Nawab, see this drain that I have to come across with all the sewage, I leave my iman here and then I come. See that? So understand where we're going and where we're leading the general masses, where we're leading them. To a path of iman or to a path of dilution of faith. Watering down faith or a path of iman. Allah Baktawfiq Nasikul.